God is good, guys. God is able. God is wonderful. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Gus, Robin. We just want to pray even now for North Point City Church. Can we do that? Lord, we thank you for partnership in our city. We thank you, Father God, for those that are blessed, are able to help those that need. And we thank you, Father God, just for your hand. We just want to, I don't know where, North Point City's in the north, I'm sure. We just want to stretch out our hands, oh God, towards that city, to Jan and Daphne Nell, who lead that church. And we want to pray, Father God, for your face to shine upon that church in a new and wonderful way. We ask you, God, for your spirit to be poured out upon that church in a glorious way. God, we thank you for our partners in the city. We ask you, Lord God, that you would grant them that the springs of salvation would break up from the ground right in that place. And we thank you, Lord God, that church would not only be known in this city, but all around the world, sending people out, sending worshipers out all over the world for the sake of your glory, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that as we pray for them, we pray that we would follow them and we would follow suit. And the days are coming when this church will be sending out worship teams and worship leaders all around the world for the sake of your glory, O God. We praise you that we partner in those that are seeing fruitfulness in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you agree? It's good to pray. Hey, good to pray for churches. Good to pray for our partners. Guys, there's so many churches in this on the street. Do you know how many churches are on this road? I can name like 7. But you know what? Jesus is being worshipped there today. And there are faithful people in every single one of them that Jesus loves and adores and is strengthening. And we're just one of those that God has called to use for his purposes and for his pleasure. Isn't that amazing? And yet, there's something wonderful about being united to a local church, being just stuck in and baptized into a body where you're known and loved and where you can get to know and get to love others. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's great because God, that's where he changes us and makes us more and more like him. And he works in our lives. And he sometimes causes a little Mr. and Mrs. Sandpaper to sit next door to us and shave off some of those unlike Jesus attributes that are on our shoulders. That's good to have, isn't it? But yet ultimately, God's placed so much in them for you, and God's placed so much in you for them. And I'm trusting this morning that you'll get a sense of what the Lord's wanting to say for us, that he's causing all of us to be used in his beautiful kingdom to build his church and to prepare his bride. Isn't that wonderful? Cool. I had a great time away. I was away for a week at Hole in the Wall, mentioned it at the start of the meeting. And had a wonderful, wonderful time there. Just so grateful to Chungu and Lorraine for opening up that beautiful cottage that they have oversight over. And we had 49 pastors from all over the country, guys from just outside the borders of this country, coming together, building relationship. I've been invited into Zimbabwe for guys in Matari and guys in Bulawayo have invited us to come across there. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know where I'm going to be able to do it. I don't know if I can take my whole family and I'm going to actually try, but you know what? God is able. And also we benefit too because some of the partnerships and relationships that we build on the beach while we're looking at the sea, and believe it or not, there's cows that walk on the beach. Different cows there, cows of the other kind. Anyway, we get input into this church from those relationships, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm feeling refreshed and happy to see all of you. Do you notice something different? The wisdom of God is increasing on my face. Right. Lord, I want to just pray this morning. Thank you so much for the privilege of worshiping you. Thank you that you've given us the gift of worship. Worship is not so much about what happens to us, although so much happens to us. But God, what a privilege that you've said, I don't know anything in all the universe for you to worship but me. And God, when we worship you, we find true freedom and true expression and purpose. We are created. You are the creator. And we want to worship and adore you. And Lord, I want to ask you for your spirit to help and guide me this morning as I preach. I pray, Lord, not just for myself. I pray, God, for every person here that you would open up our hearts to the things that you're calling us to obey, to the things that you're asking us to do as Lord, Commander, and Master. Over every one of our lives, we are your followers, we are your disciples, we don't ask you to follow us, we want to follow you, Jesus, and we pray, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would challenge us. We thank you, Father God, that all of this is based on the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, and Lord, even as we're singing this morning about that wonderful life that you've laid down for us, Jesus, that just makes everything worth it. I thank you, Lord, you just silence every other voice that's trying to speak louder than your gospel to every one of us here this morning. And I just trust for fruit in every one of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like quality? Quality, you know, quality streets, or not just quality streets. But I mean, you appreciate quality. When you see something that's done with quality, it's wonderful, isn't it? And we all, yeah, Vorsprung Deutsch something. And there's, when you see and you know and you experience quality, it's like nothing else. Now, when you've had the Hong Kong and then you've had the quality, there's a big difference. And we don't want the fake. We want that which is tested and proven, isn't it? So in order for something to be quality, it has to go through a whole lot of tests. It has to go through a whole lot of kind of scenarios and kind of controls and all these kind of things to check whether it is good. And folk, the scripture that I'm going to share with us today is going to highlight for us this very fact that Jesus intends for you to be quality. And you know what? He intends for you to be good and perfect and Christ-like and everything. He sees quality in you. It's a wonderful thing. Even when you're lost, messed up sinner, doesn't matter whether you're a prostitute, drug addict, whatever, murderer, God still sees quality in you that He would come and die for you and change your life around for the sake of His glory. How wonderful. We were lost, but He loved us and He came after us. And He didn't want to leave us in our sin. Folk, Jesus has got quality in store for every single one of us. But, I don't know, if I see you on a package of, I've never actually seen a package of brake pads. But if I ever get my hands on a package of brake pads, and they state quality brake pads, I'd like to know if those things have been tested. Because if you put them on your car, and they've never been tested before, and they just say quality, and maybe even quality spelt wrong, you might be in a bit of trouble. And so quality is what he's aiming at in every single one of our lives, and it's a beautiful thing when you can live a life of quality before God, but it has to be tested. And there's testing that takes place now, and there's testing that'll take place later, and this is what we want to look at this morning in the scriptures. And in fact, we've been looking at it all year, really, that love builds us up. And God is wanting to build us up. And Jesus has a purpose and a plan to build us up in Him. But He wants to make sure that we're not just puffed up, but that we're quality. And so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to go from verse 5 to 23. 1 Corinthians 3:5-23. I want to know that my life is proving faithful to Jesus. I want to know that what's in me is faithful to God and faithful to His word. I'm asking the Lord all the time, Lord, give me what's required and do what's required in me so that I can be quality before you. It's important for us. So let's have a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 23. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? You know, sometimes people get like that. They have personality cults. We're like, oh no, just guys, I'm a this fan, or I'm a that fan, or have you listened to this CD, or have you listened to this DVD, have you watched this guy on TV, have you listened to this podcast? And like, that's the only podcast you ever listen to, is only that guy. And sometimes you can, yeah, whether a person is a Driscoll fan, or whether a person is a Piper fan, or a person is this fan or that fan, no problem with that. But unfortunately, sometimes we get into these kind of personality cults where if you don't listen to this guy, you're not even a Christian. And sometimes like, oh, no, if Brad doesn't preach, then I'm not going to their church. You know, when that guy says something, oh, no, then it's big. You know, and, oh, who's this guy in leadership? And, oh, how come this guy's in leadership? And how come that guy's made a deacon? Or how come this and that? And all these kind of things. Folk, let's not get into following people but at the same time recognize that God uses people. So He's going to use certain leaders, and He's used leaders who are infallible, who you shouldn't base your whole life on, but you should base your life on the message that comes through them, because God is going to use them to lead you and to change you. So though we don't make it all about them, we need to thank God for them, because He's used all of them to get us to where we need to be. So what then is Apollos? So at the end of the day, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. Now God assigns different tasks to everyone. I planted, this is Paul saying he planted, he started the church in Corinth. Apollos watered. So Apollos would have come across it sometime from his kind of Egyptian teaching and training and very eloquent, where Paul used to say, I'm not very eloquent, but he just brought the gospel. And then Apollos would come and he was very eloquent, and he was even trained by Priscilla and Aquila to understand the way of the Spirit even better. So Paul might have brought the gospel and Apollos might have brought something of the Spirit and just these wonderful teachings to these guys. But who are they? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. You know that word growth, it actually says God made large. Oh, you know, why does it always have to be about making the church large? Because God's making it about that. But he's going to do it. So we just keep watering, we keep planting, watering, God will give the growth. It says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. You know, when somebody's done well in their life, to a degree you can attribute something of the faithfulness to the person. But you know what? It's actually all God. And it doesn't matter how well you've done in your business, how well you know, we can see churches of 10,000 or we can see churches of 100 that have made it through difficult times in Syria. Hello? I mean, but God's growing it. And he's the one who gives the growth. And it says, he who plants and he who waters are one. That's amazing. I'm with you, you with me. The one who makes the coffee, the one who leads the worship, the one who waves the flag, we won. We're together. So why have this elevation of one and not of the other? The Bible actually says this, that some of the noble parts have been given less honor than some of the ignoble parts, the parts that you don't even see. Jesus goes so far as to say this, that the greatest in the kingdom are the children. And in fact, if you want to enter the children, you've got to become like a child. And so, perhaps we should have more kids in our meetings. I'd like it that Ian has to run off to Google at the right moment. Children, fuck. And so sometimes we want to elevate. We want to say, oh no, this is big, that, but God's got a completely different perspective on these things. And he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Do you know that when you get saved, you are saved into a work with God, for God? You're not just saved, and that's the end of the work. You're saved into a work. By definition, salvation means you become a fellow worker with God. If you're not a fellow worker with God, then you should ask yourself whether you're saved. If you're not doing something with him and for him, then what have you been saved to? Have you been saved to lie back on the beach for 1 week? Yes, it's okay. But he saves us into a work for him. And the desire to do the work is what he gives us by the Spirit. And he empowers us for it. And it's not our own ability, and we can't do these things in our own strength. But he frees us so that he can use us. Isn't that beautiful? When you're not being used, you're not free. And I tell you, sometimes it's hard, and sometimes there's difficulties, and sometimes there's things in our lives which would stop us from being used by God. But folk, this, even with those things in your life, say, I'm going to get used by him. He is able. He is the Lord. He is the strong one. Let's pick ourselves up. Many of us are waiting for that day when everything's okay, when everything's perfect, when everything's nice. Then I'll step out and maybe do something for Jesus. Just remember this. The very definition of being saved is that you are a fellow worker with God. And he's calling us into a task. You are God's field. You are God's building. And then it says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day, capital D, will disclose it.
Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. That's amazing. I mean, you can imagine the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, and the wood, and the hay, and the straw. When the fire hits that thing, it makes the gold purer, it makes the silver purer, it makes the diamond shine brighter, but it burns up the wood, it burns up the straw, and it burns up the hay. And what you're left with is beautiful reward, if any. But you're saved if you have foundation as Christ. And if you're only built with wood and it's all built, burnt away, you're still on that foundation. That's what it says. So it's a wonderful place to be on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But now recognize this, that he wants us to work in such a way that there's quality. And he wants us to have a reward. He wants us to see that what we've given our lives for has got eternal ramifications. That what you've done on this earth is not just for this earth, but that what you've done on this earth is linked in to a glorious forever reward. And so, goes on, do you not know that you are God's temple? Now we start to think about this a little bit. All right, so if the foundation is Jesus and the work is determined, is going to have its quality determined, but then it's a temple that's being built, but it says, but you are God's temple, then one and one makes two. Then we must realize this, that what we're working in is people's lives. And that's what determines whether there's gold or silver, wood, straw or hay. Because you are the building, and the building is going to get tested by fire. Hello? Every one of us are part of that building. That building is going to get tested by fire. But what remains? Faith like gold. Obedience like silver. Love for one another like precious stones. Or sin, which gets burnt up. Things, works that are done out of faith. Things that are just by flesh and not the spirit. Those things will get burnt up. But it shows you, if we are the building, and the quality that Jesus is going to determine is what stays as gold for eternity, then we need to be building into one another. We need to be strengthening one another. And if you get saved and I never pay attention to you, then that's a work of straw. But if you get saved and I pay attention to you and I put into you everything that I've got to see you believe the gospel and believe Jesus Christ, then you're gold. So I want to live so that you become gold. And you know what it says? We've all been assigned our task. Some will plant, some will water, but God gives the growth. Every single one of us have a role to play. Every one of us will be tested on that day, and our work will show what it's about. So it doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or a coffee pourer or whatever it is. I want to make it a bit more practical this morning because it applies to what you do in your business, what you do in your family, what you do with your children, your marriage, what you do with your heart. Every single day, it has an effect on that building. And I trust that you'll be stirred for greater things. God, do you not know, 16, that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Wow. Gee, so let's be careful how we deal with the church of Jesus Christ. Let's be careful what we say with our words when we say this about the church, that about the church. Don't forget that there is a temple of God and it has seven expressions along this road. Don't forget that the church that hurt you and the church that you're trying to hurt or whatever it is belongs to Jesus. And that he's the judge over it. And so bless it and love it and care for it, just like Jesus does, even when he saw how that church was before they were saved. It's a powerful thing. Remember this, folk. There's a day with a capital D, and it's not your birthday. There's a day where everything we said will get weighed up. So, that's why the words that come up here this morning, how sweet are they? When Robin encourages us with the Lord's ability, when Ian takes the mic and goes for it, it's encouraging us of the Lord's strength and the Lord's ability. Those are the words that bold the church and strengthen the church and lift up the faith in the church. Little moments like that, as we're singing, God is able. It's strengthening us. It's making us like gold. Isn't it beautiful? You wouldn't want to miss it if you understood what was happening to you every time you come. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in his craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. What's happening there is, don't get into these little factions, because actually, if you try to distance yourself from another, actually, they belong to you, and you belong to them. And it all belongs to Jesus, and we're all going to inherit together. You know what's one of the most amazing things in all the earth? You and I are not just fellow workers with God, but we are co-heirs with Jesus. And that when he inherits all of this, I mean, can you imagine? Jesus is getting sons and daughters into his family every day since that day on Calvary. 2,000 years ago when he died for us, since that day, every single day, he's reaping sons and daughters for 2,000 years and will for maybe 2,000 years more, who knows? But every single day, all around the world, we are being swept up as his. And one day, when we see it all, beyond multitude, nation upon nation, every saint worshiping God together, we'll have one thought. We are his, and he is ours, and we all inherited together. Wow! That's worth giving everything for. That's worth getting in your car and driving to Zimbabwe twice. That's worth going to Rwanda, going to the ends of the earth, going to Syria. Guess who's going to Syria? You, if you've got faith. Henny Cater. Henny Cater's got an invitation into Syria to go and preach the gospel. Let's pray for the guy. Just when you think Henny's dying, kind of, the stories of Henny are kind of calming down. I'm going to Syria. Somebody's blessed him with a 3 million rand, 8x8 Mercedes truck to drive it to Sudan, and it opens up and it's got speakers and he's going to preach the gospel from it. And he's 63 and he's powering for Jesus. Hello? That's our inheritance. I follow Henny. I follow Jesus. No. That's ours. And we belong to each other. And it all belongs to Jesus. But what a privilege when we share in it practically. When we give towards the trips to the nations. When we go to the nations. When we pray for the guys that are going. When we appreciate this together. Folk, every one of us, our hearts are going to be tested by God in this thing. Let it be gold. Let it be silver. Let it be precious stones. Let us see the value in what God is doing around the world. So everyone has a part to play. You got that? The Lord is the master and the owner. He's determined different aspects and different elements for every single one of you to walk in. And he's going to give growth. As you do your part and as somebody else does their part, in fact, don't worry about the other person's part. Do your part. When you do yours, God brings the growth. Why this person, that one? I think it was Peter said to John, about John. Peter said to Jesus, is John not going to die? Because Jesus had this thing to say in the end that Jesus will be with him. I can't remember the exact terms. But Peter was so concerned about what would happen to John. And he thought, is John going to have a special end of his life? What about me? And Jesus said to him, don't be concerned about the other guy. Do what I've called you to do. Follow me. Hello? Oh, this person or that. Guys, this scripture is dealing with that very thing. You do what God's called you to do. And be faithful in that thing. And you'll see God do amazing things. We'll all see God do amazing things. So everybody has a part to play. And everything you do has a part to play. Now, some of you guys are in business. Most of you. The way you conduct your business, do you not think that it's important to the kingdom? The way that you conduct your business, you think, okay, well, Brad, you know, that's all church. And that's all church stuff. And doing stuff at church. I'm not talking about that. Because what you do in business, what you do in integrity, the way that you tie your business into the kingdom is going to be something that determines whether it's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, stubble, or straw. And you can live your whole life and your whole business career building straw. Or you can live it building gold. And the way you do that, so I know some of you don't know, but on this property, Your brand agency is a company that Hilton runs, and he runs it from this property. That doesn't mean that he's connected to the kingdom just because his business is on this property. We've got Rudy, who has an office over here, and he uses an office at the church. Does that mean that his business is connected to the kingdom because he's got an office here? We've got Amy, who runs a little preschool here. And there's five or so kids, am I right? And they're blessed over it. But does that mean that they're connected to the kingdom just because they've got space on the premises? No. You're connected to the kingdom when you realize that everything that you do and everything that you're in charge of, if it's not for the Lord, doesn't matter what gift and ability you have, if it's not for the Lord, it's not connected to the kingdom. And let me tell you this. The value that you get out of the work that you do is determined by a salary. If you did not think that your work was valuable enough for the salary, you'd get another job. Am I right? If somebody said, I'll give you a lesser salary, you say, but there's a higher value on my work, you'd find another work. And so it's important for us to understand this, that when you get a salary, it's the sum total of the effort that you've put into your 8-hour day every day. And that salary then, how do you tie that into the kingdom? Say the word. How many of you said it? Okay, say it again. Somebody in this church, I don't know if you know, but for almost 18 months, we've been rolling, paying salaries late. But somebody in this church put an 80,000 rand tithe into the church account about a month ago. I tell you, what a blessing. And I phoned the person. I don't always know who tithes, but I knew who this was. And I phoned the person and I said to them, I want to thank you for honoring God with a tithe on 800,000 rand. And she said to me, the person said to me, he said to me, they said to me, I was so tempted to just make it 40,000. But I felt like God say, 10%. That is incredible, folk. I trust that there are many of us here who God has blessed in huge ways. I trust that you would not just build with wood, but that you'd build with gold, even when it comes to your business. And folk, there's other ways that you can tie your business into the kingdom. That's just one example. Do you not think that your marriage and the devotion that you have for your wife, do you think that it's important in the kingdom? I want to tell you, folk, your marriage is so important in the kingdom. It says this, that the mystery of Christ's love for the bride is informed by your own marriage and is also enhanced. Your own marriage is also enhanced as you understand Christ's love for his bride. One of the best things you can do for your marriage is stay connected to the church. When you come to church and you see Jesus loving his bride, it helps you, husband, realize that you've got a bride. You know, sometimes we are less gracious with our wives, and we can be more gracious with the church and this motley crew of all kinds of messed up people, and we can have so much grace for them, but lo, if our wife steps out of line one time, we've got no love left. That's what I say. Come and see how Jesus loves his bride, and you'll be informed of how to love your wife. Stay in. Wife, have you ever seen the church tuning Jesus? Have you ever seen the church in a moment of worship? Oh, Jesus! What are some of the things you say, babe? You've never actually said any. I'm joking. Sharisa doesn't do it because she's in the church and she sees how the church loves Jesus. And I tell you, folk, it's one of the most important things. You know, sometimes people's marriages go down and they withdraw from church. Worst mistake you can make. Now you've got no reference to grace because you're not operating in grace, and you've got no reference to grace, and it goes one way. I've seen it time and time again. Couples going through difficult things, they start to have issues, one starts leaving, one's coming to church on their own, there's still issues, all this kind of stuff, then the other one goes, boom, divorced. Just stay in. Stay on that foundation. And God will put the test, turn the test into something that makes those things into gold, precious silver, stones. Stay in. Your involvement in church and in the kingdom can save, sacrifice, and strengthen your marriage. In fact, it's a good place to find a wife or a partner in the church. The qualifications for leadership and the quality of your ministry is determined by your covenant at home. I mean, you can't be an elder or a deacon if you can't handle your marriage properly. And so this is important for us. We understand how important our marriages are tied to the kingdom. And so if you think that your fight with your wife has got no effect on the church, folk, you're building with wood, stubble, and straw. But if I can love Sharissa, and I posted it this week, and I like doing it every now and then, but I am obsessed with this amazing girl. I want to kiss her now. But I tell you what, I love her. She's beautiful to me, and she's the only one for me. You are, babe. I promise. It is. And as long as I love being in love with her, it makes doing this so much easier. Let's be romantic again, guys. The way you romance your wife, the way you love your partner, not your husband and wife, not girl, that's not even marriage. The way you love your wife, the way you love your husband, it's good for the church. You might not have a husband or wife here, but you know what? Marry yourself to the church. Serve the church like you would serve your husband. Serve the church like you would serve a wife. Lay down your life for them. Love them, appreciate them. Have grace for them when they mess up. Come on. And the kingdom of God grows with gold, silver, precious stone. Parenting, the way that you raise your children. And I tell you, you know, they say it's a fact. You can change the entire world if you focus on giving the gospel to one generation of children. You could have the whole world believe if you just focused on bringing the gospel to your kids. So if you have children here, I want to ask you, and I beg of you, please share the gospel with your children. Don't leave it to the Sunday school teacher. They're not going to get it at school. They're certainly not going to get it on the internet or by Disney. And pop culture is not going to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not the responsibility of anyone else but you, mom and dad. Or if it's just mom or just dad, whatever it is, give your children the gospel. Do you know how you know whether you succeeded in parenting on the day with a capital D? When your children are tested by fire and they still show a love and obedience to Jesus and a love for his church on that last day, then you know you've parented well. But if your kids have got no desire for church, no desire for Jesus, no love for Jesus, then you have to ask yourself, have I been building with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, stubble, and straw? Change the way you do it if you got to. Change your modus operandi. Change the way you love. I can't force Ethan to love church. You better come to church, boy, or you're going to get it later. I've tried that, doesn't work. When I love him and I hug him and I tell him I love him and we're going to go to church tomorrow, and I shared a little devotional with them last night, and they're excited. Those kind of things stir my heart. I trust the day comes where they say, I love you, Jesus, and it's not based on mommy and daddy. It's out of their own hearts, and they want to serve. And they can go through school and go through the varsity years, and they're still connected and still building gold in the inheritance of Jesus Christ for that last day. Can we see our children do that? Can we pray for that, folk? We've got to pray. We've got a generation of teens that are so lost and so broken, and their parents are not telling them about Jesus. And we have to rely on poor Chris in Denver. But what if we prayed again for youth in this place? What if we prayed for young people to get saved again? What if we prayed and said, God, give us the schools, give us the Summit colleges, give us the Crawford colleges, give us the no faith schools for the sake of Jesus Christ? When they hear the gospel, they'll be like, I've never heard this before. Because they haven't. It's the most loving thing in all the earth. Could we do that again? A generation that need Jesus, folk. The way you parent. And then, of course, your heart. What goes on in your heart, don't think that what happens in your heart doesn't affect the body. When you are loving Jesus, it affects the body. There's an expression of his love that comes to the body. But when you are miffed, and your heart is full of stones and rocks and all kinds of, I tell you what, it affects the body. Can we guard our hearts? Your sin in private, where no one's looking, is affecting me and everyone else here. And my sin is affecting you. I've got to say, God, pluck and pull this thing out, because I don't want this thing inside of me to hurt you and to burn you and to change you for the worst. I want you to be gold, silver, precious stone, not wood, straw, stubble. Jesus, deal with my heart. Amen. Don't hide it away. Don't keep little things hidden. Delete on your browser. History. No one knows. No one will see. I tell you what, no matter what you do, it's affecting your brother, it's affecting your sister. Let's ask God to help us in that and to guard our hearts. And work hard in anything that God's given you to do. Quality determines quantity. He who is faithful with little will be entrusted with much, and God will give the growth. Can we quickly go to Romans chapter 12? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, singing and dancing is not really worship. But presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, that is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is His good and acceptable and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, Crossing Church, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You know, He's assigned you faith. He's assigned you a work. There's an assignment for every one of you. For in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Everyone has a part to play. Let's do it as living sacrifices. Folks, if you can test your heart now, it's better than having your heart tested then. If you can say, God, do a work in me, then He can get rid of all the stuff that we don't need. Who wants more gold, silver, precious stone? Who wants less wood, straw, stubble? 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. I just want to go through some scriptures here. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19 to 21. It says, God's foundation stands firm, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. So set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Guys, I want to encourage us. God has not called us to earn or work for our salvation. The way that you work is not so that God would be pleased with you. God is only pleased with you through faith in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus, by grace you are saved, and you are accepted as His, And that's your foundation. You're on it. But he doesn't just save us by grace. He saves us for works. So we're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. And he saved you to do something. He saved you to receive his Spirit and to be like Jesus. He saved you to have faith. He saved you to use your makeup and the things that you like and the things that you love and the things that you appreciate and the stuff that you really want to do. He saved that as well so that he can use it to turn others into gold, precious stones and silver. What are the things that you want to do so deeply and so wonderfully? Start doing them here. Start trusting God. And sometimes it might just mean serving in a little way. And serving is a powerful thing. Serving gets rid of two things. The overreaching desire to be in charge of everyone is dealt with when you serve. And this kind of muddy, no responsibility, I'll just go along with the crowd, is also dealt with when you serve. Jesus came to serve and not be served. Can I pray again that we would serve his purposes, that we would serve what he's called us to do, that we would give our lives, give our talents, give our treasures, give our time, give our travels for the sake of his kingdom and the things that he wants to do. Jesus did it. Let's rid ourselves of the wood and let's go for gold. I'm trusting you'll see Jesus as you read the scriptures, how Jesus had faith and he believed God. And he didn't do a single thing without hearing from his Father. That's how we must do it. Jesus resisted sin with the word. When the devil said to him, bow down and worship me. I mean, what kind of sin would that be? Jesus, he says, bow down and worship me. Jesus says, you worship no one else because it is written, worship the Lord your God and him only. And he overcame with the word. Jesus laid down his life and he suffered well. And we heard about that crushed flower this morning, but it produces a fragrance. Guys, I want to encourage you. Some of the times when you can have the best gold, silver, and precious stones built into your life and into other people's lives is when you go through suffering and you go through it well. How do they purify silver? The fire. The fire is good. Fire is good for you. Face the fire. And see God turn it into gold. Oh Lord, I want to pray for you. Could you stand please, folk? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The tested genuineness of our faith, it must be tested by fire. So that we would put more and more faith in our living hope in Jesus Christ. And as our faith is tested, it becomes imperishable, undefiled, unfaded. And God keeps an inheritance in heaven for those who keep believing no matter what. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to ask you just to come and do your work among every single one of us here. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you've laid down your life for every one of us, that the foundation was laid like a slab of concrete poured out. That's what you did with your life, Jesus. You poured yourself out, but no grave could hold you. And you, Jesus, are solid forever, the rock on which we stand. No death, no sin, no devil, no demon, nothing can separate us from your love because you've overcome death and you've overcome the grave. And you have risen. And Lord, we put our trust and our hope in you, Jesus, our wonderful Savior, to build our lives upon you, Jesus. It's the most wonderful thing in all the earth, the most lasting thing in all eternity. I want to pray, Father God, that you would use us in the Crossing Church to reproduce disciples just like you did, Jesus. I pray that we would be a people who will expose others to the glory of God. That we would be a people that expose others to the power of God. We would be a people that would expose others to the testimony of God's ability that we would be a people who can speak of His healing power, of His provision, and of His faithfulness, and that we would tell everywhere we go, to our partners, our children, our businesses, and everywhere we go, of Your glory, O God. Lord, I pray that we would be those that are open to relationships that are long-lasting. I pray, God, that we would be a people who have friendships and partnerships that last till You come. I pray, God, for gold in our dealings with each other. I pray, Father God, for tested genuineness of our covenant among one another. That no matter what, we're there for each other. I pray, Lord Jesus, we would be a people who are not just hospitable, who are not just welcoming and invitational, but that we are willing to carry the loads and the burdens of our brothers and sisters till Jesus comes again. I ask You, Holy Spirit, that You would help us to do it, because we can't do it without the one inside of us who carried the cross of the whole world. Lord, I pray that we would be a people who nurture gold in each other, in our children and in our friends and in the lost. However it may be, Lord, we pray that whatever we say and do would encourage faith in one another. I pray for us as a church, Jesus. I pray a release over us of a testimony of faith, no matter what needs to be suffered. And I trust You, Lord God, for victories, 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 victories in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for this, Lord God. I pray, God, that we would be a people that open the door for others to have opportunities that we have dreamed of, but we breathe wind into the sails of others to run into them. I pray, Father God, the things that we thought we could do, we would see others do better than us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't be those that run after this person and that person, look for greatness and all kinds of things, but we would become like children, and we would be humble, and we would say, God, for You alone is the glory and the praise and the honor. Would You use us, Jesus? Holy Spirit, we want to know Jesus. We want to make Him known. Make it gold, Lord. We don't want a wooden understanding of Jesus. It wouldn't work. We don't want a hay understanding of Jesus. Hey, Jesus. These jokes. Lord, we need better jokes. Lord, I pray for us, God, that we would have a gold, silver, precious stone understanding of You, that it would be developed in the fire. It would be developed morning after morning in Your Word. It would be developed day after day in leaning into You, learning from You, Jesus, to know You and then to make You known. I pray that we would see what Jesus does and that others would see us do the same. I pray that we would hear what Jesus says and that we would say the same. Lord, help us, I pray. You are our foundation. We need a foundation. Everyone here needs a foundation, but we need a structure too. We've got a foundation, and nobody else can be the foundation. Bread is not anyone's salvation, and your home group leader is not anyone's salvation, and the person you rely on is not your salvation or your foundation. Jesus is your foundation. But we need one another to build the structure. And we need one another to build the building. So I pray, Lord God, that You would build us up, that we would be tested, and there would be a quality among us like we've never seen before.